Hey, I appreciate you folks, and I'm so glad Brother Billy's okay. Do y'all really realize he could have just as easily said something derogatory, like, you've got problems? I think it's wonderful, amen. I just thank the Lord that God cares that much about us. Ain't that a blessing? If ever tear, we cannot shed a tear that God doesn't know about it. In fact, he bottles them in Psalm 56, verse 8. Isn't that a blessing? Not even a little sparrow can fall to the ground. Not every hair on your head's numbered. Did you know you're engraved in the palm of his hand? That nothing can happen to us without the knowledge of the Lord. Hallelujah. Boy, I enjoyed this morning. Got your Bibles? Would you hold them up real high? Hold them up there. I want to see. Thank God. Amen. Right kind? It'll count. Open your Bible, please. The book of Luke in Luke chapter 7. I get up early. Sometimes I get so annoyed at myself, I don't know why that I get up so early. Did you ever, anybody outside me, you ever do that? You just wake up and my wife, honestly, you can set your clock by her. Every morning in her life, same within 2 or 3 minutes, she's always up. But my problem is I wake up and then I can't go back to sleep. So I got up this morning and I went in and it was real quiet. And I didn't turn the news on because you're just going to hear the repetition of the same thing that happened yesterday. And so on the weekend, do you ever notice nothing ever happens nothing happens on the weekends. It's always during the week. It's always the same stuff from Saturday to Monday. But anyway, I got up, went in and got my Bible, and I sat in there reading. And you can't never, ever exhaust the Bible. You think you've got it all out of there. You think, well, Lord, thank you for showing it to me, but you don't never, ever get it all mined out of there. The Bible's like a gold mine. Every now and then you just find a little flake. Then God will give you maybe a nugget, and then sometimes God gives you the whole gold mine and the gable into your soul. So I hope this will happen tonight. In Luke, please, chapter 7, and read with me verse 11. Luke 7, verse 11. It came to pass the day after. Now, there's a lot of things happen the day after. This might be a great day in your life. I mean, a great day in your life, but tomorrow may be totally different, opposite. Boast thyself not for tomorrow, for you know not what tomorrow may bring. I think about Brother Billy, and my mind, y'all don't think like I do. I can just see Brother Billy in that split gown. I can just see him trying to hold the back of it. This don't go there. Now you got me tickled. I was thinking about Beth. I had surgery on my eye, and Miss Beth come back there and put one of these hats on me. And that thing went, you know them hats you put on your hair like a net? Is anybody here? Y'all know what I'm talking about? Can't y'all just see Brother Billy with one of them and him holding that gown shut? I can see that in my mind. Miss Beth put that thing on me and took a picture of me, and it went everywhere. They want to know what I was doing with that thing on my head. I said, she put it on there. Yes, a flowered one at that. A flowered one, not just a regular net hat, but a flowered one. You know, I got a flowered hat. Somewhere, somebody took a picture of me when I had surgery. And the nurse got me up, and you know they want to walk you all the time. They want to walk you. Well, before I had this open heart surgery, I wore boots all the time, and I still wear boots, just not like I do now. My feet, my ankles swell. So she got me up. Now here I am holding an IV. Now you got to picture this in your mind, that with that little old roll around thing. You ever been to the hospital? Boy, I'd love to be there when you go in. You know that little thing they roll around? What is it called, Beth? What's it called? That little IV pole. Y'all know what I'm talking about? She's a nurse. She knows what she's talking about. It's an IV pole. Here I am with a pair of Western boots on, holding the back of my gown, pushing that thing. That woman laughed at me, and then somebody else took a picture of that. Now, can you believe that? I love the laugh. I do. But now, this is serious. In Luke 7, it came to pass the day after, that's in verse 11, that he went into a city called Nain. Now look up here at me. This is the first and the last time that he will ever enter to a little place called Nain. Now you need to understand this. He left Capernaum, and he left Capernaum to go to Nain, and it's 25 miles from Capernaum to Nain. Did everybody get that? 25 miles, probably on foot back, or just walking. Just walking 25 miles. Everybody got that? From Capernaum to Nain. Now watch. The next day, and many of his disciples, many, went with him, and much people. Now, get this, and it says, and the much people of the gate of the city, it says, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his widow, mother, and she was a widow. And much people of the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said unto her, weep not. He came and he touched the bier, and they that bare him stood still. And he said, young man, I say unto thee, arise. Now watch. He that was dead sat up and began to speak, and he delivered him to his mother. And there came a fear on all, and they glorified God, saying that a great prophet is risen up among us, and that trust that God hath visited his people. Now that's in Luke chapter 7. Keep your finger there and turn over to Mark, please, in chapter 1. Almost the same, a different account, same account, but go to Mark, please. Now this is what I was reading this morning. In Mark, please, chapter 1, if you look in your Bible and watch what happens in Mark chapter 1. You ready? Mark 1, verse 32. Ready? And at evening, when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased and them that were possessed with devils. And all the city was gathered, it says, together at the door. Now, I want you to picture this. In Luke chapter 7, you find that this Jesus is going into the city of Nain. You can read the same account in the book of Matthew, but I'm not going to take time. Anytime you read something, you ought to read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You ought to read what each one of the writers says about it. Now I want to go back to Luke chapter 7, and I'm going to use that chapter this morning, this night, and I want to show you, if I can, where the widow, she's a widow, W-I-D-O-W, and her husband's died. Now her only son is dead. Now I'm in Luke chapter 7, and it says, as the sun was setting. You know, I thought about it. I've thought about this. The man that I took care of his funeral yesterday, or we did, we went when we had the funeral, his wife told me that when he went into hospices, they said he wrote out, I wished I had it with me, they said he wrote out what he wanted to put in his obituary. He wrote it out. They said when he died that he raised his hand like this toward heaven. Now, I don't know what he was seeing. I don't know why he raised his hand. But what I'm saying is nobody really knows for sure about the man's spiritual condition. I've witnessed to him years gone by. I've known him probably 30 years. I've witnessed to him a lot. But what I want you to see, the sun's going to set for you one of these days. One of these days, the next day, the sun's going to set for you. Now, if that happens, if the doctor was to say, I'm sorry, but you have terminal cancer. And you, I mean, and if he said that emphatically, where do you know beyond any shadow of a doubt, if you died, you'd go to heaven? Do you know that? Do you know that? That's more important than breathing air, is that if you leave this world, heaven's your home. Now look at Luke 7. The woman has lost her husband. Now she's lost her only son. Now I want you to watch this. If you look in verse 11, there's many people, there's much people, and then it says, if you, much people again in verse 12. All right, how many of you in years gone by, we're a little old-fashioned. Miss Polly? Do y'all remember used to that they brought the body home? How many of y'all remember? Would you raise your hand? They used to bring the body, if you had somebody to die, they brought the body home. Did you ever go to one of them? It's called a wake or a setup. Down where I go to with the Indians, it's totally different. Sometimes they'll go 2 or 3 days, I mean, when a person dies. But now watch this. In years gone by, they used to bring the body to the house. All right. People would set up with the body. They go day after hour, hour after hour, setting up with the body. People would bring food. Do y'all remember this? Now then, they've gone from, they don't bring the body home. Now they took the body to the funeral home. Well, used to, it wasn't like it is now. Now they have, a funeral goes from at 10 o'clock until 1. In other words, the visitation is the same as a funeral. Goes from 10 to 1 or whatever. Just a couple hours. They have a couple hours visitation, then they have the funeral. And sometimes, listen to this, they take the body, and I've had this to happen, they take the body immediately to the cemetery, and they've got a place where they put the body, the coffin, and everybody gathers there, and you read scripture to them, and then you have prayer, and they take the body and go bury it. Hurry up and get this out of mind, out of sight. We got to get back to our jobs. to the next time death comes. I want you to watch it. Now, if you look in verse 12, they behold, there was a dead man carried out the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and much people out of the city was with her. All right, I believe the widow was in the lead, just like they do now. They put the coffin is in the hearse. And then you have the lead car, and then right behind that will be either the immediate family. Is anybody here? The immediate family. And then they'll have the family and then the friends on back through there. All right, this is the way the procession. Look in your Bible. The woman is probably in the lead. Now she's probably got completely covered from her head all the way down to her ankle. She's probably got a veil on and it's probably black. All right, now they're weeping and they're wailing and they're crying. Now how do you know that? Now watch this. The only son of his mother, she was a widow, and much people in the city was with her. Did you know in the days of Christ that they literally, if you had money, you paid people to mourn? I mean, they had professional mourners. I told somebody at the funeral home yesterday, I have been in funerals to where that people pass out as a result of the emotions. They literally just, they used to have smelling salts. And used to, guess what we would do? Used to, all the preachers, we would stand at the head of the coffin. People would file past the coffin. Guess what? I've seen people almost get in the coffin with them. I mean, under such duress, I've seen that. But then I've seen people almost turn the coffin over. And yesterday, the funeral director was emphatically telling these pallbearers, make sure you don't drop this coffin. You know, when you take it out of the hearse. Because they don't know what they're doing, and they're nervous, and they're pulling the coffin out. And I have seen them almost drop it, but I've not seen them completely drop it. Now picture this in your mind. The woman has got grief. I mean, her husband is dead. Now her only son is dead. Now everybody's in the procession. Look in verse 13. When the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said unto her, weep not. Thank God, hallelujah. Jesus had compassion on her. Now listen, he left the city of Capernaum, come all the way to the city of Nain, 25 miles. Now whether you believe this or not, I can't help it, but I believe he came just for this woman. Amen. I mean, he cares that much. He came just for the woman. Now let me show you. Now watch it. This woman, brother, it was a time of death. Her son had died. Her son had died. It says he was a young man. Now remember, all of her hope to some degree was in that boy that was alive. He had to provide for his mama. Now, her husband's dead. Now, her son's dead. It was a time of death. Her only son, a widow. And I thought to myself, sometime or another, if we live long enough, you're going to die. It's knowing you pass from death unto life. I hope this never happens to you. Sometime up in the night, 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, the doorbell will ring or somebody will knock at the door or keep knocking, and you go to the door and there'll be somebody there and he's a state trooper and he'll have his hat off and have his hat stuck underneath his arm. And he'll ask you, he'll say your name and you'll repeat your name. He says, you need to follow me. You need to go with me. Oh, dear God. And your heart will sink and you'll say, what in the world's happened? It might be a son. It might be a daughter. It might be your brother. Somebody you love more than life itself is now dead. And listen to me. That is when you're dead, this woman, now they it's all over. Are y'all listening to me? Look in your Bible. It's all over. He's dead and they're carrying out a name. He's going out of Nain. Look in your Bible, back up to verse 12. They're going out, they carried him out. By the way, if you see Jews and Arabs to this day, they put them on a board. Have y'all seen that on the news? They take the body and they literally lay it on a board and they carry it on their shoulders. I don't know if that's the way this was, but probably that's Eastern culture. All right, they're going out of the city. Out of the city. So the mourning and the grief and the time period has elapsed, right? Now then, they're headed to where? The graveyard. They're headed to the graveyard. It would do me well. I hope I don't never hear these words again. The service is over and you can go to your cars and the grave will be properly prepared for. It would do me well. I hope I never hear them words again. And you hear it, and look here, and they'll take a cut of the rose or the wreath that's on the coffin, and they'll give you a flower, somebody that you love. And you'll hold the flower, and sometimes they'll put it in their Bible, and sometimes you'll see them lay down on the coffin. And they'll not do anything until everybody's in their car and away from the coffin. Then when you get away from the coffin, they're going to lower it down in the ground. Are y'all listening to me? And then they're going to cover it up. It's over. As far as the death, they buried them. Now watch this. Now watch. I want you to get this. I'll probably run slap out of the building. The Bible says in verse 13, and when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said unto her, weep not. But listen to this. Have you ever thought about it? Death has come into that family. She's lost her husband. Now she's lost her son. Everything in the world is going through her mind. And here Jesus is on the scene. Hallelujah. And he looked at her and says, he says, weep not, amen. Amen. Let me tell you what compassion is. Are y'all ready? If the word is compassion, look at it. And he had compassion on her. What is that? Give me a definition of compassion. Sorrowful, I agree with that. Give me a definition of the word compassion. Huh? Love. All right, it says when Jesus saw her, he had compassion. Now listen to this, I believe this is a good definition. Compassion is you're hurt in my heart. Let me give that to you again. It's you're hurt in my heart. You're hurt in my heart. When Jesus saw her, he had compassion, amen. Sure, he had sorrow. Sure, they had love. But I mean, it's your hurt in my heart. Jesus knows everything about us, and he still loves us. Right. Hey, this woman's brokenhearted. She's lost her husband. She's lost her son. No means of income. But now, I want you to watch this. It's going to be a blessing. Not only had death come, but the second thing I want you to, it was a time of desperation. I mean, literally, this woman was desperate. They're coming out of Nain. They're going to put him in the ground. Now listen to this. This will make you have a spell. Look in verses 14. I got a vivid imagination. And he came and he touched the bier. In other words, he touched them that was the pallbearers that was carrying the dead body. Say amen.
Yes, amen.
He touched them and the Bible says, now won't you watch this. And but they that bare him stood still. And he says, young man, I say unto thee, arise. How would you like to have seen that scene? Woo! Y'all ain't got no vivid imagination. He was dead. Let me say that again. D-E-A-D, dead. They're going to put him in the ground. Right. It was a time of desperation. How do you know that, preacher? Listen to this. They're going out of Nain. Jesus has come all this way, come there just for the woman. Amen. Right. And the Bible says Jesus said he had compassion on her. And the Bible says, he said, young man, I say unto thee, what?
Arise.
Arise. Now watch this. And he that was dead did what? Set up. How'd you like to see that house, man? Woo!
That'd be good.
Hey, did you know I read everything I can read? Did you know in years gone by, Kelly, did you know before they ever started embalming people, where did embalming come from? It's found in Genesis chapter 50. But if you go back, now listen, where did embalming come from? Embalming is where they drain all the fluids out of your body and they pump formaldehyde in your body. But did you know before they ever started embalming bodies, did you know that literally corpses would set up? Y'all ever fried a frog? How many of you have ever fried frogs? Did you ever see them move in a skillet? Now, don't lie to me. Don't y'all lie to me. Now, what if you was having a funeral and all of a sudden a dead corpse just set up? Y'all would have said, I'm going to find me another door. I mean, if it had just set up. No, I hear people all the time make statements like this. I wouldn't stay all night in no graveyard. Graveyards can't hurt you. I don't want to sleep in no graveyard. But the dead people can't hurt you. It's these live ones that can hurt you.
Right.
Now watch this. He that was dead, the Bible says, sat up. Well, if that's the end of it, but that ain't the end of it. He says, what did he do?
He began to speak.
Don't that show life? He was dead, but now he's alive. Amen. Amen. Hey, y'all ever wonder what his first words was? Hello, mama. I don't know, but I'm just saying he that was dead sat up and began to speak. Amen. What do you think, Porter? What was his first words? Mom, I love you. I do too, brother, but that's my own personal belief. But I want you to watch it. He that was dead began to speak, amen. Whoopee. Y'all ain't getting none of this, are you? Watch this. He that was dead sat up and began to speak, amen. Right? And notice what Jesus done. He gave him back to his mother. But don't y'all ever get excited about anything? We're going to sing, All I Want for Christmas is My Two Front Teeth. I love Rick. I do. Now watch this. I got to go back. I'm in Luke, please, chapter 7. Not only a time of death, her only son had died. Now a time of desperation. Her husband had died. Now her only son is dead. Now they're fixing to go and put him in the ground. And the Bible says, as the sun was setting. Why, Brother Sisson? Why? Why was it at evening time? Why? All right, Jesus, now I want you to watch this. Now watch this, verse 15. He that was dead sat up and began to speak, and he delivered him to his mother. Shout a little bit and say, glory. Don't you think that mama was one happy woman? Back up just for a moment. Look what it says up in, let me find my place just for a moment. Look in verse 14. And he said, young man. Do y'all see that? How many of y'all see the word young man? All right, he was dead, sat up, began to speak, am I right? And then it says he gave him back to his mother. All right, if he was young, it says a young man, am I right? Wonder what his facial features was like. Don't y'all ever think, I bet he didn't have to have no cream to make his skin soft. That's the reason why I love little old Carson. I got him to my car today. And I was watching his grandmother. Ugh. She's going to make sure I didn't get it to the car. But hey, listen to this just for a moment. How many of y'all love little babies, the smell of little babies? I could just eat them up. That's how much I love them. But I'm saying, do you think the young man's, what do you think it was when Jesus brought him back, he that was dead sat up, began to speak. And then it says he gave him back to his mother. All right? What was his countenance? Was he smiling? Was she smiling? Was they happy? Was they jubilant? Lord help us. What do you think? Shoot, I believe they're having them a time of their life. I believe faith. Whoa! I believe she had a spell, amen. It says, and he gave him back to his mother. I love that. That just blessed me all over. Now I got to show you now. Y'all ready? Now watch this. Now watch. I'm still in Luke, please, chapter 7. This time of death, a young man, and then this time of desperation. But it was also a time of deliverance. Jesus touched her. Now what? I'm going to back up in verse that we're at. Verses 15. He that was dead sat up, began to speak, and he delivered him to his mother. Here's the verse. And the Bible says there came fear on all, and they glorified God. Don't y'all ever tell me that if God, the Lord raised up a dead man, if Rick was dead, I mean just dead, and somehow or another God raised Rick up, don't y'all tell me that everybody wouldn't want to show up just to see Rick. I would. In fact, I don't want to know, what was it like where you was at? Don't y'all think like that? He was dead. Where was he at? What did he say? What was his facial features? What did he look like? What did they do after this? But it says fear came up on all of them and they glorified God. Let me show you the next verse. I want you to watch this. Now this will get a hold of you. Look in verses. And the Bible says, and there came a fear upon all they, and they glorified God, saying that a great prophet is risen among us and that God hath visited his people. Amen. Remember the 25 miles? Do you remember I told you that he came from Capernaum all the way to Nain? All right. He raised that young boy up. Am I right? And the Bible says they said that God had visited his people. Amen. Why do we think it a small thing that God could touch Brother Billy Miller when God can raise the dead? Shoo. See, I don't think there's no limitations you can put on God. And the same identical way that this man is a classic example of lost people. I mean, hey, Notice in your Bible, and I want you to write this down. I wrote it on the front of my Bible. There was two groups met. One was coming into Nain, the other one was going out. One was following Jesus, and the other was following a corpse. Has there ever been a time that the Holy Ghost turns you around? Has there ever been a time that once, I mean, you was following the world, but now you're following the Lord Jesus? Let me show you something. Not only two groups met, but there was the Son of God, then there was the Son that was dead. If I know anything, Jesus is life. He says, I've come that you might have life and have life more abundantly. In John 5, verse 24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. I'm going to believe God. Amen. Hey, my feelings and my emotions has gotten, I feel good because I am saved. God only gives one kind of life, and that's eternal, everlasting.
Amen.
God ain't no Indian giver. The craziest thing I have, when you ever get it down in your craw, that there's a day in your life, hey, you didn't find God, he found you. Hey, the Holy Ghost comes and seeks you out. You come to the end of yourself and so you say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And the same identical way that God raised that dead young man up, there's a day in your life if you're really saved, God raised you up.
You're right.
Ain't that a blessing? Good. Hey, but it says as the sun was setting. The sun is setting on all of us. I thought today, it won't be too long, I'm going to be 73 years old. I know I don't look it, but I am. Don't you say nothing. All right, I can't believe, my mama used to say these crazy things to me. She said, when you get 40, your life speeds up. I used to tell my mom, I said, Mom, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life. But it seems like when you get 40, from then on, your life just flies. Here I am, will be soon be 73 years old, and I can't believe that many years has passed by in my life. I just absolutely sometimes can't believe it. But now listen to this, listen to me. All right, if a man lives 70, all right, your longevity, we're living longer today. We got better doctors, better hospital, better nurses, better medical, amen. All right, we're living longer, the longevity, but we're still going to die. Have you ever just thought about it? One day, the sun's going to set for you. One day, the Lord's going to send for you. Now, it's knowing beyond any shadow, it'll bring meaning and life to your life. It'll bring purpose in your life. It'll make you where you enjoy the services, amen. He that was dead in trespasses and sin, God raised him up, amen. Look in your Bible. This time of death, but a time of desperation, but it was a time of deliverance, amen. But I thought about this. Hey, Jesus came when they was not looking for him. Let me say that again. He came when they wasn't looking for him. Have you ever thought about how many times God comes and knocks on your heart's door? You know, I hear somebody make these statements sometime. I went through the book of Jonah, and I preached a whole series of messages on the book of Jonah on the radio, all four chapters. And it says in chapter 2, and the word came unto Jonah the second time. And I thought to myself, how many times the Holy Ghost has came to me and knocked at my heart's door? Isn't it wonderful we have a God that cares that much about us, that he would come. He's not obligated to keep knocking at your heart's door. He's not obligated to keep, he's not going to kick the door of your heart down. But he came when nobody was even looking for him. He came 25 miles from Capernaum to Nain when nobody was looking for him. Jesus showed up. Woo! Let me say that again. Jesus showed up. Boy, I've seen God, the Holy Spirit. Boy, I've seen him show up in people's lives. I've seen God save whores, drunks, thieves, by their kind you can think of. And boy, I love it when God, I love to see people get saved. I love it. God transforms their life. But I'll tell you what's even better than that. When I go back again and that same couple that got saved, and you look at them and they'll say, boy, it's the best year of my life or the best 2 years of my life. Ever since, why didn't I get saved years ago? Brother Sisson, it's wonderful. I can attest to that. It literally is wonderful, amen, when God the Holy Ghost comes into your life and gives you that meaning and purpose in life. Now I got to ask you this. Look up here. Everybody look at me. It does not say, but look in verse 16. There came a fear on all, and they glorified God, saying that a great prophet is risen up among us, that God hath visited his people. Look in verse 17. And this rumor of him went forth throughout all Judea. Hey, don't you, there's, by the way, you take something could tragically can happen in this county, and people like Miss New, and you never heard so many innuendos and rumors in all your life. I mean, honestly, I mean rumors, but the Bible says, and this rumor of him. In other words, they talked about it. Did you know that Jesus was, he was coming in the name and there was a funeral procession? And did you know that Jesus touched this young man and that he rose up and spoke and he gave him back to his mother? I believe they talked about that everywhere. Amen. That's what we need to do. How great the Lord is. Amen. Right. Hey, let's stand. Heads bowed and eyes closed, please. Boy, I tell you, Jesus has the keys of death and hell. If you ever get a glimpse, but it says as the sun was setting. You know, tomorrow will be a brand new day. But I wonder what tomorrow will hold for you. You know, a guy told me, I don't know when it was, one day this week, he said, boy, he said, it seemed like the world had just fell in on me. I asked him, I said, what if it really had? He said, what are you, some kind of agnostic? I said, no, I'm the most pessimistic human in the world. I said, optimistic, Jesus is going to come and take us home. He looked at me like one of them. How many of you unashamedly can say, Brother Sisson, I know I'm saved and I know I'll go to heaven. But listen to me, if you're really truly saved, you want somebody else to know what it is to be saved. Remember when you got saved, your heart was tender? It doesn't say what the young man done. It doesn't say what his mother done. But I'll guarantee you they glorified God. I'll guarantee you when they went and had a meal at home and they looked at the face of each other, I'll guarantee you they were eternally grateful. I hope tonight God speaks to your heart. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Lord, I think about, Lord, how you came to me. Oh, God, when I wasn't even looking for you, how many times that, Lord, you just showed up. I think about my own life, how many times at sunset in my life. Lord, sun was going down. Thank you, Lord, for saving a wretch like me. Bless these dear people. Then, Lord, help us to be filled with gratitude. Thank you for knowing that we pass from death unto life. Lord, if there be here one unsaved, would you finger around that heart and draw them? Amen. But then, God, please help us to, Lord, just to be thankful and grateful. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.